Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In this podcast, I chat to all sorts of normal Christians, asking them just how they live their quiet lives and how they integrate their faith into their daily life. I hope that by listening, you will be encouraged to go out and live your own quiet life to the glory of God. You can find the episode show notes, the Quiet Life blog, and other resources at ruthamos.com.au. That's ruthamos.com.au. Now let's get on with the show. Welcome, welcome, welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth Amos from ruthamos.com.au. And this is episode 3 of A Quiet Life, and as I record this, it's Wednesday 24th of October 2018. And as I record this, I'm a quivering mess because I tried to record it and my computer did a go slow and just wouldn't open anything, and I freaked out and thought, what if I've lost all of the interviews for A Quiet Life? But it seems to be working now, so God willing, we'll go ahead with episode 3. So yes, wherever you're listening, however you found us, I listen to podcasts when I'm driving. I love to listen to podcasts when I'm driving or washing up. Takes me away from the washing up, putting clothes on the line, walking on the beach, where I don't really want it to take me away from that, but I enjoy it as well. So anyway, I'd love to hear what you're doing while you're listening. You could drop me a line by email, ruth@ruthamos.com.au, or in the comments on the website, or in Twitter, A Quiet Life, or Facebook, Ruth Amos Author, or wherever. I'd love to hear from you, as always. Today's interview is with Phil. Phil's going to share with us his journey with IVF, and I think we often think about how IVF affects the women. Obviously, it really does affect women who are going through it, but it was really interesting to hear Phil's point of view on this whole journey. His twins are older now. We recorded this probably a couple of months ago, so I'm sure both toddling by now, and my children are older too. So actually, you know, today and tomorrow are the only days that, if you're listening, that you'll get the ages right, because it's Caleb's birthday on Friday and he will not be a teenager anymore. But I'm sure you can do the maths if you really need to know. Remember, this is October 2018. So yeah, I've had a great week. The edits are complete on my novel that I'm publishing under RJ Amos. So it's gone back for proofreading, which is exciting. And so between that and the writer's group I had on Saturday afternoon here and leading church on Sunday, I decided that this week I was going to take things a little bit easier, do a little bit less writing, and I thought I'd focus on marketing this week. So they tell me that I can market and not be a sleazy used car salesman. So I'm hoping that's correct, because I really don't want to be sleazy. So yes, anyway, that's what I've been working on this week. Mum comes to stay today, so that's very exciting. Yes, so speaking of marketing, if you enjoy this podcast, would you mind very much leaving a review on iTunes, or even just going in and clicking a star rating, which would take you, I don't know, 2 seconds. It would be amazing if you could do that, because that will help other people find the podcast. And I would love to spread this podcast as far as possible. I think these stories, they're just beautiful and they're inspirational and they need to be heard. I'd love to spread it, which actually requires your help in leaving a review or a star rating. Anyway, enough of that. I hope that you've had a fantastic week. I hope you have a great week ahead. And let's get on with the interview so you can see what I mean about it being inspirational. It really is. All right. God bless. See you soon. Hello. Welcome. We're welcoming Phil with us on the show today. Phil and Liz just finished building their new house before the arrival of their gorgeous twins. He's a science teacher at our local Christian high school. And what else do I have about him here? Yes, I did some research and found out that he uses an air compressor and a pig's voice box. And if you put them together, you can make pig noises. Mm. So I'm sure there's an awful lot more to fill. I'm sure we're going to have a really great time in our conversation today because I've already been hysterically laughing as we've prepared. And so I'm really looking forward to this interview. So welcome, Phil.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me along.
Can you tell me, start off with, why did you decide to become a teacher?
So I have to jump back a little bit before starting teaching. I started doing youth groups when I was in about year 11.
Yes, very dangerous.
Yeah, and discovered the joy of that. And as I was going through college, I was struggling to know what to do. So I initially enrolled in nursing for no reason, mainly because I didn't get into med.
Right, okay.
And then about a week before uni went, I was like, no, I'm not going to go to Launceston, I'll stay in Hobart and I'll do science. And then after after a year of doing science, or about halfway through, there was not a scholarship, but a course that they were offering, which was a 4-year science teaching combined degree. I thought, that sounds great. I'll combine science, my love of science and youth groups, and become a teacher. So I kind of fell into it just by stumbling along.
Yeah, very cool. And you always wanted to be a high school teacher. You didn't have any...
So I found leading the 7 to 9 youth group most fun, challenging but fun. I found the younger kids didn't get my sense of humour. I'm quite sarcastic. Or I use irony quite a bit, and they never really got that.
They can't do that grade 7.
And I'm a little bit too immature to teach or to run like the 11s and 12s, so the high school fits quite nicely.
Very cool. So how did you become a Christian?
So I was raised in a Christian family, so going to a local Baptist church, and just kind of went along until I went on a boys' brigade camp up in the country's capital, actually. And they had some really good rallies and some really good messages, and that's where I decided to commit my life to Jesus. And then when I came back, got baptized.
How old were you then?
I was 14.
Right, yeah.
And then I got baptized, but then I was kind of not very active in my faith until about year 11 when a lady called Kate invited me on Anglican camps. Uh-huh. And that was where my faith flourished and my confidence in sharing my faith really grew.
It's amazing. That's the second time I've had someone on
Anglican camps.
That's very, very cool. So I probably haven't given you warning on this one, but do you science and Christianity is a problem for you? I know that I as a scientist and a Christian, don't have a problem with it, but I know that in the wider world, people tend to think, how can you be both?
Well, and recently I've been looking at, Richard Dawkins and his book, The God Delusion.
Mm.
And something I tell my students is science's job is not to prove or disprove God because it can't. Science's job, from what I understand, is trying to explain the world around us and the things that we observe and we can measure, and then creating hypotheses and laws. Mm-hmm. And so that science can't prove or disprove God because God is beyond it. But science really helps us to understand the amazingness of God. So assume God is true and real, then science helps us to understand and explain God's creation. So the more we understand about the world around us, the bigger God becomes, because you understand he must have some amazing power to be able to do all of that.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. All right. So talked about how your faith influences your teaching, I guess, then, but how does it influence your life in other ways? Live your faith. Are you a get up at 5 o'clock and have a 1 hour quiet time before you start the day kind of person?
No. I'm terrible at regular devotion, but fortunately at my workplace, being Christian, we have morning devotions, which is amazing. So I can kind of tick the box there. I'd say I've got a strong prayer life, but not a sit down for an hour and pray solidly, but including God in my life and reflecting and passing things to God and thanking Him for things that are occurring in, during the day. But I'm not great at sitting and meditating and just focusing on a Bible verse and or just sitting, listening and waiting for God to say something. I'm kind of rubbish at that.
So it's just faith is something you just carry with you.
Yeah, and try to be, like I like understanding, exploring some of the more, not the less straightforward things and like questioning different things. But for being a teacher in a secondary school, it's got to be practical as well. So being able to communicate to a whole range of students how my faith actually applies to me, and it's realistic. So some mornings go in and just reflect on a challenge that I've had from either looking around the world and going, actually, God tells us to do something different. This is how God guides us to live. So it's more that sort of application.
Yeah. And that's a really nice thing about teaching at a Christian school, is getting that devotion in the morning, but also just being able to share the share with the kids. Yeah. Cool. So one thing I did really want to ask you about is the whole journey of your twins. So you want to take us through?
That was a fun one. So we discovered, what would it be, about 3.5 years ago that I'm infertile or very close to infertile, which was interesting in itself because I didn't realise how much value I placed on being able to have children naturally, and I discovered I'd placed quite a bit of being a man in that. So that was all kind of going, remove that foundation of what I've had built my understanding or belief on. So that's kind of where it started. We then went through some IVF and things weren't really working still. So if it was just a male factor, so just my, just me, then that would have fixed it quite quickly. Yeah. But so there are some other issues as well with like embryos being implanted. And so after 2 years and I think it was 13 transfers of embryos or 13 cycles, I kind of lose track of it. After about 9 transfers, I think it is, they go, well, you're doing such a crap job here. Let's put in 2 embryos. Yep. And so Liz and I are like, yeah, twins.
Yeah.
From the get-go, we were like, come on, twins. This would be amazing. And so after about 13 or 14 transfers, we finally got one to stick, or both of them to stick. So that was, and after about 13 or 14 transfers, or cycles, whatever it is, I think Liz was reading some research that said, you might as well pretty much give up. And so it was on that transfer after that evidence base, we had the twins. So for us, it was sometimes it was like, or now it looks like God was going, I want you to understand that it's me giving you these babies and not medical science. Like God's blessed us with the science and with IVF and all of this medical intervention. But I think it was really God trying to make it really clear that these are His gift to us as opposed to
science's
gift to us. So.
Yeah. So that must have been quite the emotional roller coaster. I mean, I just can't imagine.
So when you're, I don't know who your listener base is, but for those who haven't even thought about having kids, I don't think they recognise the investment that each month cycle is. And with IVF, it's amped up quite a bit. So when you're trying for kids, you're kind of hopeful, do the test, but it's spread out and you're kind of like, well, we'll see what happens. IVF is quite intense in that you've got Liz has all these injections and then you remove all, you hope that there are going to be some eggs that have grown. They collect the eggs, then they fertilise them, and from that you find a drop. Then you have to wait to see how many will grow on to 5 days, and then they select one and implant it. And sometimes after all that, you won't have any. So it's this constant, really intense cycle, which I didn't realise at the time, that it's really draining. So I actually got quite unwell and got hospitalised for mental illness. because it was quite wearing and quite draining.
Yeah.
And apparently that's relatively common where people can struggle with mental health issues focusing through that.
Mm. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting that, you know, it's very easy as a Christian to say, well, just hold on to God and, you know, trust him and whatever, but...
Yeah, no, it sucks. and I think in the Christian circles as well, there's this progression, an unwritten progression of once you get old enough, you find someone, get married quite young.
Yeah.
And then if you haven't gotten married by about 24, 25, what's wrong with you?
Yes.
But then they go, and you'll have kids.
Yeah.
And so anything that throws that off is quite challenging, and especially being in a place where I'm educated, my wife's educated, where we do a pretty good job, we should be able to have kids. Like, we can do everything else.
Yes, and this is just so completely out of your hands.
Really unexpected. So it helped us to really rely on God and recognise that we actually don't have control of much in our life. No. And so... after that, I've gotten better at just recognising it's okay, God's in control.
So I can imagine after all of that journey just to get pregnant, that 9 months of pregnancy must have been full of hope and everything, but also quite terrifying, you know, that things can go wrong.
Yeah, and especially with twins. Twins are a high risk.
Yeah.
But once Liz got pregnant and they'd implanted, there was... a tentative hope. So we were waiting to go, okay, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And then we'd hit different milestones. So you'd hit 12 weeks, which after that,
that's the risk you can tell everybody.
Yeah, but there's also, when there's a heartbeat, the risk of miscarriage drops dramatically, which is before the 12 weeks. Then you've got 12 weeks. Then after that, you go 25 weeks because that's viability. Mm-hmm. So even if they came now, they could survive.
Yeah.
And then... 30 weeks, they're like, they're viable, but the long-term issues drop or the chances of long-term issues drop. And then every week after that, so 32 weeks, the outcome and prognosis is much the same as a full-termer, except much smaller. And each week after that is amazing. And so we knew with twins, they'd probably come early because they always come by 37 weeks or the doctors like to bring them 37 weeks.
Ask them to come.
Yeah. And so we were just kind of holding our breath going, okay, well, we've gotten this far.
So how far did you get?
33 weeks.
33 weeks.
So they were either side of 4 pound, which was 1.9 and 1.6, 1.7 so kilos. Tiny. Yeah. So they were in NICU for... a week, so that's the intensive care unit for babies, and then they were in special care at the hospital on like heated beds and just trying to fatten them up for another 3 weeks, so about a month in all, they're in hospital.
So,
but they're amazing.
Yeah. How old are they now?
11 months. 11 months. They're coming up for their first birthday soon.
Amazing. So you've got standing and pulling yourself up on things.
Yeah, and Alex is close. So Alex and Tilly or Matilda.
Yeah.
Alex is close to walking. So you can hold his collar and he'll kind of totter along.
That's pretty good. That's hardly any support needed at all. Yeah. That's fantastic. Oh, that's good. So you've got this amazing journey ahead of you.
And your husband said right at the beginning, each stage is good. How did it go? It's good, but each stage is better. And that's what we've experienced. Yeah. The newborn baby in hospital, getting to hold them for the first time was amazing. Yeah. Changing their nappy sucked because they're on Fortifier.
Oh.
And I don't know if you've ever experienced Fortifier poos. They are rancid. And I remember changing their nappy first and going, Liz, I thought their nappies was like baby nappies.
They're supposed to be good.
And I was like, this is not good, Liz. It's like, no, this is Fortifier. And I'm like, this is the worst. So Fortifier poos suck, but
remember that.
It makes the rest of the things nicer. Like them vomiting on you is not an issue because it's not the Fortifier poo.
Fantastic.
So, excellent. Yeah, every stage has been better.
Yeah. I have to say, yes. So my kids are now, I've got to get this right, 23 and 19 years old, and, it just gets better.
You should leave, like, a gap so that every year you can change the age. So so the podcast doesn't get old. That's so people right. can't pin it.
Yeah, I should edit.
My them. Children are Ooh, years yes. and years old.
Yeah, that'd yeah. work. That'd work well. Yeah, maybe not. Okay. So, new question. When do you feel closest to God?
Oh, it's a hard one. It varies.
We don't have an est. We could say, when do you feel close to God?
Yeah, I think often the moments where I can slow down and enjoy the moment. Mm-hmm. So, for example, one really small thing, but I felt close to God, was in a school assembly after I'd just taken the attendance for my grade, and I was just standing back, looking at my grade mm-hmm. and just having a moment of pride going, these are my yeah. kids, and just being able to thank God for mm. them. Mm. So those are the moments, just being able to celebrate and enjoy the quiet, slow, peaceful times.
Lovely. All right, and if there's one thing about God or Christianity that if you could tell everyone, you'd tell everyone, what's that thing?
I think it's that people matter. Mm. So often I see a lot of people who feel like they don't matter, especially with teenagers.
Yeah.
And if they could take one thing, it would be that they're special, or that you're special, you're created with a purpose, and you're important, mm. and God doesn't make mistakes. Mm. Pretty much, have you read Punchinello?
Yes.
So there's a story by Max Licardo called Punchinello, and there's a book called You Are Special, and that pretty much sums up my message that I think is mm. good from God.
Yeah, and that's so vital to input into those kids, mm. the high school kids
at yeah.
that point in time. I think you're in the right place.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you very much. So there's two things for you to remember, podcast people, is one, you are special, you matter, and two, fortified poo is really bad.
Yeah, they're yeah. answered.
Yeah, there we go. So thank you very much, Phil. That's
no fantastic. Problem. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope this has been encouraging for you. I want to especially thank Catherine Joy Music for the theme music. If you would like to help me fund this podcast, you can find me at patreon.com/quietlife and help me out for as little as $1 a month. If you want to contact me, you can email ruth@ruthamos.com.au or find me on Facebook at Ruth Amos Author or tweet me at A Quiet Life. I'd love to hear from you. God bless. See you next week.